We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. You guys get to participate in my journey as God grows me up a little bit and destroys some of the understandings I had and rebuilds them. I get to share this journey with you because I got a feeling that we're all in some way, shape, or form on that same journey. We're on that same journey from birth to life. I believe there's only three things that stop growing on a human being. Two of them are physical. Your ears and your nose never stops growing. Keep that in mind. And also your spirit, your spiritual life. And a baby has all the requisite DNA to grow. They grow in the mother's womb. They come out. They continue to grow. So we're all equipped from birth to be on this growth pattern. And the Holy Spirit is the one part of the Godhead that is here to aid us in our growth process and in our understanding of God. And something happened along the way. I grew up in a conservative Baptist church. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I read about it, but I just didn't. It wasn't a big part of what we did. It wasn't a big part of our tradition. I went to Catholic school. Holy Spirit wasn't a big part of the Catholic tradition from what I could understand. I went to Lutheran school. I went to a lot of schools. But neither was the Lutheran a part of the tradition. So it began to, I didn't understand it. And I remember as a child, we had a holiness church come to our church and visit. It was spectacularly hilarious to me as a 10, 12, 11-year-old boy to watch these people running up and down the aisles, chucking Bibles and spouting gibberish. So I'm just kind of going, well, I don't know what that was, but doesn't meet with what I think is, you know, God's Spirit. But, and then we saw those movements. And in the Pentecostal movement, and I believe the Holy Spirit got co-opted a little bit, and we established some new traditions in our ways of operating and thinking and functioning in the Spirit that kind of did a little bit of violence to the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, next slide, because I'm going to have a lot of scriptures here, but we understand that the Spirit has always been here because the Spirit is equal part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis 1, 2, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of it. And also David says, I can never, in Psalms 139, he says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Amen. What does that mean to us today? Where is the Holy Spirit? He's always, ever present. If we talk about the immanence of God, God is always with us. He's always here, whether we realize it or not. When Jacob had his dream in Genesis 28, he had the dream of the ladder. And when he woke up in the morning, he's like, surely God was in this place and I knew it not. How often in our lives, in our everyday lives, do we say we believe God, But we never feel Him. We never know He's there. I know that as a young man, if I knew that my Father was with me all the time, I would have made different decisions. Right? So, the hardest thing to do is to change a paradigm that we have grown up with. And I believe in the job of the Holy Spirit is He is, if it ain't broke, He breaks it. You understand? He breaks you. There's violence to be done to our lives by the Holy Spirit, but it is a violence that pays dividends.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I need God to do some violence in my life to change my understanding and my perspective and my paradigm. So, growth doesn't just happen though, right? Because if you're not nurtured properly, if you're not in the right environment, I mean, if you take a baby and just as soon as it's born you put it somewhere, it'll die from neglect. It needs the warmth. It needs the companionship. It needs that knowing that it's a part of something else. We are all made as a personality to get to know other personalities. We interact with each other. We grow and we mature. But I believe this life that we live today, this lifestyle that we have, this amazing, incredible, crazy lifestyle that we live in America, where the poorest person in America is richer than 98% of the world. Our poor are very rich. We get stagnated by our world, where the Holy Spirit kind of becomes an event. Now Jesus, next slide, promises us the Holy Spirit to all who believe. The difference is this. If you look at all the Old Testament sightings of the Holy Spirit, Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he blah, 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 and then the Spirit went away. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David and he killed Goliath and he danced and, you know, but he came and kind of went. Came upon Saul and he prophesied. You know, he came upon Isaiah and he ran. You know, I mean, all those instances, Jesus did us just an amazing favor.
Amen.
And gave us an amazing gift. Because Jesus, when resurrected, came back in a spiritual body that was of both flesh and spirit. Right? He walked in through a locked door and he was in their midst. What's up? But also he sat and he ate fish with him. Right? So, the Holy Spirit is training us for the resurrection. Training us for spiritual living. We are spiritual beings. We were created in perfection as spiritual beings. What happened? The fall. And Jesus says you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere you go. We got hung up on the gifts of the Spirit, I think. You know, these movements started happening. We got hung up on, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and doing and healing. But we began to self-promote. Instead of promoting God, instead of speaking about Jesus to the world, we begin to promote these events. And people come to church to get riled up and get in the Spirit. The Spirit, the DNA of the Holy Spirit has always been inside of us. It is activated by a confession of faith in Jesus Christ, right? All who believe. It's always here. In some, it just lays dormant because it is not activated by faith and belief. There will be violence done to you when you start to rip away the flesh and walk in the Spirit. It will change some things that you thought were okay. Some things that you understood one way, then all of a sudden God says, no, my friend, it's this way. He has changed me dramatically in my thinking and my understanding. And I know but one thing, there's a tension in me always. There's always a tension in me. Because I want more. What separates us? Next slide. And because you belong to Him, the power of life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What kind of death are we talking about? Spiritual death. The real death. The death that you don't come back from. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And God causes everything to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's Romans 8. Read Romans 8. It's all about the Holy Spirit and His function in our lives. It's all about it. And it's not a gas station. It's a nuclear-powered submarine that never has to stop and get gas. You understand what I'm saying? You never have to stop and get refilled. We don't have to be filled with the Spirit. We just have to acknowledge that the Spirit is in us, working through us, moving us towards righteousness and holiness. That is what the Spirit is doing because we are going to be conformed to Christ-likeness. Right? Amen. That is our goal as Christians. If you're doing something else, do something else. But stop hanging out here. It's not a way station. I'm sorry. I just got to keep it real. I mean, because this is what's going on with me. I want more. Look at all the people, all the saints, whether they were biblical saints or you can talk about David, you can talk about Joseph, you can talk about Enoch, you can talk about Noah, you can talk about Moses. They encountered the Spirit of the Lord and it changed their lives. They rose to a higher level of understanding and thinking because their thinking was spiritual. They went through hardship and pain. But they knew that the God, Yahweh, the immanence of God, the great and mighty creator of everything that is and was, had planted purpose in them. And they graduated to another level, whether it's Martin Luther or Finney or Augustine. You know, all these great movements, Billy Graham, changed the world because they were purely focused on the Holy Spirit activating them towards holiness, towards a higher state of spiritual being. You understand what I'm saying? A higher plane. I am having a little bit of trouble in my life because the Holy Spirit is killing off some of my taste buds for certain things. Sports. I get astonished sometimes. I can see the absurdity in certain things. The other night we were watching TV and a commercial for WWE Raw came on. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to bust nobody's bubble. But it's fake. Those men are very talented and very athletic. But when a 350-pound guy jumps from 5 feet up in the air on top of another guy, he ain't getting up. I'm just letting you know. So I'm watching this, and there are thousands of people in this arena. Thousands. And they got signs, and they're going crazy, and this guy's talking, and I'm just going, holy cow.
this isn't reality. This isn't real. But they're invested emotionally. How many events have you been to in the Christian world where people are up there and they're just going crazy for the Lord, but how much of it is real and how much of it is an emotional experience? Our life in Christ cannot just be an emotional experience, because the person of the Holy Spirit wants to know us. It is a personality. He is a personality. Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit. All God in one. And I just thought, how much investment? The really absurd things I like to watch, I don't watch, but I think about, is like the Grammys, and when all these stars get together and self-congratulate themselves and wear really weird clothes, and people are just like, oh, yes, yes. And I'm thinking, these people have spent their entire lives making believe. Right? Making believe, making us believe that there's somebody else, but it's all make believe. It's not real. And you have Comic-Con, and I'm not disparaging people. I love Marvel movies and all that good stuff. But I'm just saying the investment some people make in Harry Potter, where they have clubs and groups, and it's not real. It's just not real. So, what's real? If we believe God is real, and the Holy Spirit is real, that the realness of the Holy Spirit compels me to be better, to seek righteousness, to feel better. And then he gives me something that is valuable to me. Next slide. What are the benefits, the fruits of the Spirit? We see what the sinful nature wants. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. That means that these things are so right and pure and good that you don't have to worry about the law, because you will always be in the center of rightness. Does anybody not want those? Those benefits of the Holy Spirit? I want them. And any Christian worth their salt wants those, because they move us out of selfishness, self-centeredness, self-thinking, which is part of the sinful nature, where we're constantly going to God with our own problems, our own issues, our own stuff. My life is good. I just have to remind myself of it all the time. You know, my life is good. Me and my wife are, man, we're having a great life. We are. We're enjoying ourselves. I don't have any problems, really. Some people do, and I understand. But I can't say that I actually have some problems that I didn't create myself. Right? So let's keep it real. God has blessed us with a gift. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit, to help us, to assist us, to abide in us every day, every minute, all year, all month. Anytime we want, we have access to God through the power of the Holy Spirit to stop us, to help us in our thinking and our understanding. But it's work. It's a decision to work on it every day. Work on a relationship. How many people that have adult children, I can say I am closer to my father now than I was when I was a teenager or even in my 20s. You know why? Because one day it dawned on me that the only time I called my dad was when I needed something. And one time I just called him because I wanted to talk to him. And it was really interesting.
Sometimes I'm hyper self-aware. I'm very self-aware, but I think about stuff. And when I was getting ready to get off the phone, I could kind of hear this pause in him. I didn't ask for nothing. And he was kind of like, I knew what he was thinking. I knew it. And I said, well, I love you, Dad. And he's like, and I could hear the joy in him. And now I make it a point. I try to have breakfast with him once a week or whenever I can. Just to talk. He comes over and has, but we've grown closer. He's always been my dad. Right? He's always been present for me. The difference is in my maturity, I've developed a relationship with him. Our personalities are getting even closer and closer together. You understand what I'm saying? That's with everyone. Especially, though, with the Holy Spirit. It's not easy because there's no book out there, okay? There's no book out there but the Bible to help you with this. Many books have been written, but the beauty of DNA and the beauty of spiritual DNA, it's all individual. All of you have a dose of the Holy Spirit that gives you a different purpose, you a different path, you a different guide. But the guidance is the Bible. There ain't no mavericks out there. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to amend anything. Everything we need is in this Word. Become a student of the Word, and then you will know and understand how to draw into the Spirit. It takes time. It takes effort and it takes energy. And our society is set up against all the things that we need because bam, 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 microwave it for me. Get it for me now. Order it on Amazon. I want it tomorrow. I want it before tomorrow. We're impatient.
Amen.
We're distractible. Right? As we get older, oh, we long for the simpler times. I ran into a guy the other day at the dealership that actually went to the same grade school and high school that I went to. He was young, a little younger than me, because I asked where they lived, and they lived on the street I lived out in Southwest Portland, and I was just like, oh, we were talking about it, but it just took me back to a simpler time. When my mind wasn't challenged with all these distractions. You know what I mean? Because it's competing with something that I want more. I'm sorry. I want more. This life is becoming kind of mundane. I literally can't find anything to watch on TV. Honestly, I'm just like, what the heck are we producing now? Maureen laughs at me because I watch Korean and Russian shows and read the subtitles. She's like, what are you watching this stuff for? I don't know. It's more interesting than anything I can see on, you know. But sports. Because I'm beginning to understand that a good portion of our world is operating unrealistically. They're not in the reality. The spiritual life is a reality. We have to believe that as Christians, right? If you don't believe in a spiritual life, once again, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Stop it. Stop playing. You know, stop playing. This is real life. The Holy Spirit is real. And that is what Jesus Christ left for us. A paraclete, a helper. You know, someone to come alongside of us. Closer than anything else we have in this life. Because my wife knows me when I'm operating in the Spirit and operating in the Lord under the Lord's providence, I'm a better dude. I'm not a really good dude when I'm not. I know this thing. I am schizophrenic. I am spiritually schizophrenic. Been that way my whole life. The Holy Spirit is now just pounding me upside the head. Hey, dude, guess what? I'm changing you. Because I know you want to change. But it's been hard. It's been hard. Pastor's known me for, what, 15, 16 years now? He's seen me go through. I've seen him go through. All the people that have been here for that long, we've all begun to change, evolve. We've had to learn more about grace and mercy. You know, as God moves our hearts, strengthens us, and grows us up, we get a different understanding. Grandparents, you're totally different, aren't you, with your grandkids than you were with your own kids. Right? We learned a couple things. First kid, you're going, what am I going to do? Third kid, you're going, it'll be all right. You know? I'm going to burn some more time because, next slide. This is my main point, and somebody better than me said it better, so I'm just going to steal what he said. And how receptive are you to the Holy Spirit? Right? Because that was the difference between all the people that we uphold as heroes and saints, right? They were receptive. Remember Samuel? What was that? Right? He was receptive to the Holy Spirit. That's what changes us. Our openness and receptivity to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Those private times. This Holy Spirit relationship is not a corporate relationship. It's not about all of us getting together and bringing down the Holy Spirit. It's about us at our quiet time on our knees, opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's leaning, letting Him criticize us, letting Him let us know where we need some help. And then we invite Him in. And He tears away a little more flesh from us. Tears away a little bad habit from us. Tears away some stinking thinking from us. You know. Rips away at our victimhood. Because at the end of the day, we are all destined for where? Glory. Glory. He's just growing us. He wants to live the life that He designed for us because He knows what's best. So Tozer says, receptivity is not a single thing. It is a compound, rather, a blending of several elements within the soul. It is an affinity for, a bent towards, a sympathetic response to, a desire to have. From this, it may be gathered that it can be present in degrees, that we may have a little more or a little less, depending upon the individual. It may be increased by exercise or destroyed by neglect. It is not a sovereign and irresistible force that comes upon us as a seizure from above. It is a gift from God indeed. But one which must be recognized and cultivated as any other gift, it is, if it is to realize the purpose for which it was given. Is that too deep? I've been reading Pursuing God for 6 months. I'm in chapter 6. The depth is tremendous because it's simple. We must not neglect the Holy Spirit. But we must not treat the Holy Spirit as if He is an event, another concert, another thing that we do in our church, where we come in on Sunday and we feel, woo, felt good, that was a great service, man, the Spirit was really here, bam, out the door, and the Spirit's still there. But no, the Spirit's here. Spirit is right here, every day, all day. Find the happiness that comes with being in the Spirit. Find the peace that comes with being in the Spirit. Because 90% of the stuff that we worry and stress about never happens. Why are we worried? Why are we stressing? We all got houses to go to. We all got beds to sleep in. We all got refrigerators full of food. Most of us have cars to drive. We have people that love us. I'm telling you, anybody in this room right now, you will not be homeless. Right, Bill? You will not be homeless because I told my wife, I don't care what happens. I got enough friends and I got enough people that love me that I'm always going to have a place to live. You understand? Because we've invested in each other. Now we need to invest in the Holy Spirit because He's already invested in us. He's already invested in us. The person of the Holy Spirit is a real person. Treat Him as such. Treat that relationship as such, and it will, man, the dividends will be tremendous. I am changing. I want to have a higher plane of existence with my God. I want to know Him, and I want Him to know me. And tear away the things that are delaying my growth, that are stunting me, and make me a full-on Christian. Where I'm not coming to church to get something, I'm coming to church to give something. Give of my personality, my understanding, the Spirit that God has given me. We all want to grow, and so we become a beacon of light that our faces can shine as Moses' face shined because the Spirit of the Lord was pouring out of him. That is where we want to get to and go to, right? The glory of God and the strength of God to flow through us. I want to see spiritual things. O God and Father, I repent of my sinful preoccupation with visible things. The world has been too much with me. Thou hast been here and I knew it not. I have been blind to Thy presence. Open my eyes that I may behold Thee in and around me for Christ's sake. Amen. God bless you.